Well, we greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. Also want to welcome you here. And would welcome your thoughts as we look at, I've chosen to look at Isaiah chapter 1 this morning. If you want to turn there. And maybe before we get into it, we should just pause for prayer. Heavenly Father, we are privileged to gather together again this morning. We're privileged to hold your word in our hands and to undisturbed look at it and its message to us. Lord, you have spoken in different ways to people across the ages, and we just ask that your will would be done here this morning and that you would speak to us this morning as we look into your word. We thank you, God, for this special service later, and we just ask that your presence would be here throughout the service, and just guide our thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We want to look at a bit of chapter 1 in Isaiah, and like I said, I would really be interested in your thoughts as we look at this. What comes to your mind when you think of Isaiah? Maybe we should look at some of those things first of all. Anybody want to share with us who Isaiah was or when he lived? Anyone who wants to share, just raise your hand and we'll bring you the mic so that we can all hear.
He was the son of Amos and he lived in the days of Uzziah.
Okay, that's right. Any other thoughts about who this man was? Well, I believe he was a man of God. And he, as verse 1 tells us, or Jonathan mentioned, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw during Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So he was a man that was living back in the book of Kings. There was some hard things that the children of Israel went through. And here was a man that had a message from God. And I thought maybe to open it up, I would just read a couple of verses from Numbers. Numbers 11, verse 25, says here, this is not about Isaiah necessarily, it was more about Moses. In Moses' day, it says, "And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders, and it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease." So I was, that was kind of an interesting thought as we think of the prophets of the Old Testament, and I'm not sure who all these 70 elders were, but the thought here is that the Spirit was upon those that were prophesying, and Isaiah was, I'm not sure if he was one of these 70, but I think he was a man of God, and therefore he would have come under these same things. Also chapter 12, verse 4, I mean, we could read more in verse 4 here, but then verse 4 in chapter 12, it says in verse 4, "And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out." We'll just read on a little bit. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth, and he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against thy servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed off from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb." And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O Lord, I beseech thee." I just read that because here was another man of God, and it seemed that God my thought is sometimes we kind of take lightly a man of God, or we don't esteem them, or we don't maybe respect a man of God the way we ought to. Here was Moses, and God said he was a man of God. He said that he had spoken to him mouth to mouth, not just in dreams and visions. And according to what I see here, it was God's word that Moses was speaking, and you could not go against that. It was a very serious thing to go against that. And again, Isaiah was, I believe, also a man of God that was speaking things that he heard from God. It was not just something that he had drummed up. It wasn't that he was speaking on his own. Maybe we'll just read some of these verses right now, and then we'll open it up for your thoughts. Isaiah chapter 1, I think we'll start at verse 1, and we'll just read down to verse 20 right now. I believe that there is kind of three sections in this part. In verse 1 to 20 is kind of, we could split it up in three sections. Verse 1 to 9, and then verse 10 to 15, and then 16 to 20. But I think we'll just read it all in one and open it up after that. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzzah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up. neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city, except the Lord of hosts hath left unto us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Saith the Lord, I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of the lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meetings, your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. All right, so we have quite a message that he was giving here. Maybe someone has a thought to share with us right now about any of these verses here. Who's he speaking to?
I believe he's speaking to the Israelites.
Okay. That's right. Were they not considered God's people? So the message, at first at least, doesn't sound too encouraging, I guess. Is that right? And he kind of starts off with a sinful nation, people laden with iniquity. Any thoughts on the first verse 4 there? I guess one of the things that we want to see in this chapter is the way God deals with people, I guess, like you could say it that way. The way God deals with people, with his people. Any thoughts on verse 4? They've forsaken the Lord. Do you have anything else, Jonathan?
Yeah, it's interesting that even the children were corrupted. And I think of, I was looking at a, actually just reminded of that yesterday. I was looking at a scripture that talks about, you know, if the believing spouse is willing if the unbeliever is willing to stay, that the believer should not depart in a marriage where there's only one believer, else your children would be unholy. So it seems like the presence of one believer in a home has a sanctifying influence in the home. But here you have not only a nation that had become corrupted, but it says children who are corruptors. So even their children, it had become so bad, I guess, that even their children were becoming corrupted.
Thank you. Yes, they had turned away from God. Does anybody remember in the life of Isaiah what was happening over some of his lifetime among the children of Israel? Was it always only that they had turned away from God?
Well, according to the first verse, he saw this vision in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. In the days of Hezekiah, there was actually a very real turning back to God, in Judah at least.
Thank you. And yet some of the other kings, wasn't it Ahaz that had set up many places of worship? I didn't review that when I was getting ready, but I believe that he had raised up many places of worship that were to the gods of the heathen nations around them, some of the same idols that the heathen nations were worshiping was actually what Ahaz had been raising up and people were worshiping there. Any other thoughts on this? And as the brother mentioned here, that they had turned away. Verse 4 says, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone backward. Sometimes we don't see the reality of this was a bunch of human beings that were called after God's name, and they weren't that much different in a sense than people are today, if we can just say it that way. We can claim to be God's people, I think, today, and yet if we are going to walk the same way that they did and turn our backs on God, then we will, I guess, have the same results, aren't we? Any other thoughts on the beginning here of the chapter? In verse 3, it says that even animals know where their owner, even animals know their master's crib, but Israel does not know, and my people does not consider. That's how the Lord looked at it, I guess, because this is the man of God that has seen this vision, and he's bringing the message, whatever God has spoken to him, no matter if it is something that is going to make him popular or not. So down from verse 5 to on the next few verses, it sounds pretty bleak. Sounds pretty negative, I guess you would say. In verse 9, let's look at verse 9 here. Except the Lord of hosts hath left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Is there any thoughts on verse 9? Had God not promised that this would be his people forever? A thought is up here, Chris. Mic up here. Can't remember your name, but.
I like the thought of the remnant, and no matter how dark it gets or how evil the world is or even how much corruption's in a church setting, there's always going to be a remnant, always going to be a faithful one. In Elijah's day, it was down to a few. I guess there's some prophets that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. And maybe Isaiah felt pretty much alone a lot of the time too. And so in our circles, if we feel alone, let's take courage. There's still a remnant, and there will always be a faithful remnant for God. He'll see to that, and let's make sure we're a part of that.
Thank you. Yeah, I often think of that when you think of the Book of Kings and... Yes, there was a lot of back and forth of the children of Israel. It seemed like Ahaz had been very evil, but yet when Hezekiah came in as king, it changed. And I mean, sometimes you forget that during those dark times there was still someone that was faithful. Thank you for that. Any other thoughts?
I think it also has to do with, I know it has to do with the fact that God's looking for heart worship, not external religious or even irreligious applications or fleshly mindedness. But he's looking for the heart worship, not idolatry.
All right, thank you. He's looking for the heart, even in that day, wasn't it? It wasn't that God was just trying to keep them busy in all these things. Thank you. We should maybe move along. We're supposed to be done in half an hour, is that right? Okay. All right. The way I look at it here, verse 10 to 15... I think is maybe a little bit more bright. He says, hear the word of the Lord. It's not only condemnation. If we want to think of the first part as being condemning, maybe it is. But yes, there is hope. It says, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. And he says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs and of he-goats. Would somebody want to share your thoughts on those verses? Was it not God that had asked them to do these things?
The grief that it causes God when there's the outward form with no inward adoration or worship. God, even though they were doing many outwardly right things, but there was no devotion in the heart.
Thank you. Anything else?
We see the surety of the Word of God, but we also see the mercy of God in this. Mm-hmm. And thinking of the days of Isaiah, I think this is at the beginning of his time when there was a lot of falling away, but yet people did turn back. In the days of Hezekiah, there's a great revival. So we're encouraged by the mercy of God. And this portion just now that you're looking at, it's, it goes back to the heart, but so often we think, oh, those things are... God does require that, but he wants more. I was thinking of Psalm 51 where it talks about what the sacrifices of God truly are. They were a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And then he says, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. So those things, just like we heard last week about when Hezekiah had to destroy the serpent that brought salvation, and yet it became a snare to them. They offered offerings to that. So it goes beyond the outward. The outward is important too, but it begins at the heart. And I think we're encouraged here that some of Israel did turn back, and they didn't have to end up the way of Sodom and Gomorrah there. And Jesus said, unless ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. So it just shows through this the mercy of God.
Yes. Yeah, I think a lot of times we look at the Old Testament and we sometimes maybe are tempted to think that there was little mercy, but really if you think of it, yes, it says if it could have easily been that God would have wiped them out, and yet he didn't. I remember one time when God said, he told Moses, step back, and I'm going to just wipe this people right off. And Moses pled for them. In fact, God told him, I'm going to raise up a nation after you, after your name, instead of the previous names that had been there. And it was not... Moses didn't go for that, and he pled with God, and God had mercy. Maybe we'll quickly look at a few more things here. Any thoughts on verse 16 and 17? Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. These are the things that Isaiah was speaking that they should do. Well, I think our time is here to close. And may we remember God's merciful and God is gracious. And he's looking for a people that is willing to listen to his word, that is willing and obedient, willing to follow in his ways. And that's all I have for today. Thank you.